B104.3, and we're just about ready to chat with Dionne Warwick this morning for Coffee with Kane. And while we're waiting, I thought we'd listen to one of her biggest hits. That's what friends are for.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. That's what friends are for.
That's what friends are for, from Dionne Warwick, one of her biggest hits. And we're waiting on that phone to ring so that we can chat with her this morning. She's got a show at the Apollo tomorrow night, and I believe that her son has been helping her put this together. It's kind of a retrospective of her life and her career and her music. That's Dionne Warwick, the legend. Oh! B104, this is Audra.
Hey, Audra, it's Michael. I have the great Dionne Warwick here.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it is such a pleasure to talk to you. You are a legend in music, and I can't even tell you, the rest of the staff, when they found out we'd get to talk to you, they were so excited. And I know that you have a lot to talk. You go ahead. Accept those accolades. You deserve them.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Very nice of you to say.
Well, we mean it. And you have a show coming up on Friday, June the 27th at the Apollo Theater before they shut it down for renovations for a couple of years. How did this come about that you were going to be performing there? Did they come to you?
No, my son went to them, and they immediately said yes. Which was wonderful to hear.
That is. You.
So I got my start at the Apollo. So, you know, it's like a full circle now.
That's wonderful. And you are going to be actually joined on stage by your son, right? He's a manager and a Grammy-winning multi-platinum producer. His name's Damon Elliott. So tell us about how he came to be a part of your career.
Well, he decided that he wanted to do a show with me, and that it would be a show of information. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. And he put the show together, and here I am doing it.
Well, it looks like it's going to be absolutely wonderful. You're going to talk about your career, your achievements, the creation of your music. And I actually reached out to my own daughter, who is a musician and a singer, because I wanted to know if she had a question for you. And she did. She actually said she had a million, but her biggest question was, what is the most technically difficult song you've ever performed?
Wow. I guess it would be Promises, Promises.
Oh, and that's a great one. At what part of it, what part made it difficult for you?
Well, time signatures. You know, Burt Bacharach had no regard for time signatures. If he felt that he'd started 4/4 and go to 7/8, it was without any problems whatsoever for him. And he tried to sing, it had a little bit of a problem every now and then. Fortunately, I was a music major at Hart College of Music, so it was not quite as difficult for me as it might have been for many, many others.
I, as a singer myself, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, oh, this is not as easy as it was to listen to. So speaking of listening to your music, your very first hit was "Don't Make Me Over" in 1963, and I was curious to know if that kind of felt like an anthem for you, because was there ever a push for you to change your musical style any time during your career?
No, fortunately, no. You know, everybody that I recorded with, and especially Bacharach David, when they wrote songs for me, they wrote them to suit who I was. And it was without any problems whatsoever. So, you know, there's a little lady named Donna Summers who coined disco music. And it was something that I knew that Dionne Warwick could never do. So it was never any problem with people trying to get me to do something I could not do or would not do.
That's wonderful. You have had such a storied career. Was there any point in your career that you felt like, you know, I'm tired, I don't want to do this anymore?
No, it was during the period of time that disco music took over the airwaves of radio. And my music, along with Johnny Mathis or Barbara Streisand, were not being played any longer. So it also gave me a chance to be mommy. I had two wonderful children that I finally had a chance to get to know and enjoy and get to know me. And it was a lovely period of time, I must say, you know, though I was not recording or being played on the radio. It was a period of time that I got to know my babies.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a beautiful part of your story, because it makes you who you are as a person when you are blessed enough to become a mother. And now you get to work with your son. Does he also sing?
Yeah.
Or
basically, he's a producer of recordings. He became the producer to the young ladies in our industry, you know, Christina Aguilera, Beyonce and Destiny's Child and Pink and Maya, quite a few of the ladies prepared him as their producer. So he's kind of honed that craft and has become very, very good at it.
Well, you must be extremely proud. I'm curious to know, during the 80s, you became... you were appointed as ambassador for health for the U.S. because you were on the front lines really helping to raise awareness and raise money to fight against HIV and AIDS. And that was such a huge battle back in those days. What pushed you toward that? Was there someone in your life that you felt like you needed to support them and you stepped in to help with this?
Absolutely. You know, during that period of time, first of all, nobody knew what it was until Rock Hudson put a face on it by giving it a name, in fact. And unfortunately, I, along with a lot of other people, lost people that were working with them. I lost two.
Who came to you?
I kind of did this on my own. It was something that I felt that needed to be attended to. Everybody thought I had lost my mind because they didn't know what it was, nor did I. But I started asking questions, you know, of doctors and nurses. And I finally got to the head of the CDC, Dr. Anthony Fauci. And I became his nemesis, actually. He still calls me his nemesis. But he, you know, he worked very, very diligently with me because I kept asking questions. What is this? Why is it? Where is it coming from? Et cetera. And until I had the wherewithal in which to be able to travel the world and visit other health companies, countries around the world, and found that there were medications that were being produced that were showing some signs of relief, I started bringing those drugs back into our country to see if they would work here. It was a self-imposed obligation that I had.
Well, and you made the commitment not only for that, but with the chart-topping song, That's What Friends Are For. I don't know that everybody knows as much about you as this story tells, this Dionne Warwick, Don't Make Me Over, One Night Only at the Apollo Theater. What a pleasure to talk to you, Dionne Warwick. You are a force to be reckoned with every day to this day. And we thank you so much for being here with us on Morning Go.
Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye. What a kind lady. And still has such an iconic voice. Hey, I wanted to play you a little clip of the song that she was talking about that was so hard. I Googled it while we were chatting, and it's Promises, Promises. Take
promises,
a listen.
Promises, promises, I'm up through with promises, promises now. I don't know how.
Amazing to get to have the iconic Dionne Warwick here on Morning Go for Coffee with Kane. I'll post the entire interview on our Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you can hear it. Man, so excited. Anyway, all right. Thanks for joining us for Coffee with Kane here on Morning Go, MB 104.3.